The U.S. has the highest level of economic inequality of any rich democracy. As we've been talking about in our State of Disparity series, Connecticut's economy is an extreme example of that. WSHU's Craig Lamalt spoke with Jacob Hacker, the director of the Institution for Social and Policy Studies at Yale University. He's the author of the book, Winner Take All Politics, How Washington Made the Rich Richer and Turned Its Back on the Middle Class. He told Craig that right now is not actually the greatest level of disparity in American history.
If you go back in history, the period before the Great Depression, the late 1920s, was the peak period of inequality in the United States. But then with the Great Depression and the U.S. entrance into World War II and the strong shared growth after World War II, we saw a massive compression of income differences. But over the last 30 years, we've seen our society moving back towards the levels of inequality seen during the period prior to the Great Depression. In fact, just before the financial crisis in 2007, the share of income going to the top 1% was essentially the same as the share of income going to the top 1% in 1928, at around a quarter of all national income going to the top 1%.
And you write that the share of income going to the top 0.1% is pretty remarkable in this country now, too.
That's right. I mean, we've heard about the 1% and the 99%. But in fact, the better way to think about it is the 99.9% versus the top 0.1% or even the top 0.01%. Because within the top 1%, the largest gains have been at the very top. What we've seen is a move towards a winner-take-all economy in which rewards are highly concentrated among the very richest. And that's true of income, and it's also increasingly true of wealth. We're seeing levels of wealth concentration that we haven't seen since before the Great Depression and World War II.
Why is that? What's been happening that's concentrating the wealth at the very top?
The most common answer to that question is that we've seen major technological change, the globalization of our economy. But one problem with that explanation is it doesn't explain the reality that we've seen a lot of difference across rich countries. Much of continental Europe, Scandinavian nations have not seen that hyper-concentration at the top. So whatever's going on, clearly national political institutions and public policies play an important role. And in the United States, I think what's happened is over the same period that we've seen market pressures pressing for greater inequality, we've seen government policy tilt in favor of those who are winning out in the market. And that's taken the form of big tax cuts at the top. It's taken the form of deregulation of financial markets. It's taken the form of policies that have weakened labor unions, which are a key force for pressing for greater equality of wages. So basically, government has put its thumb on the market scale and tilted the balance even further in favor of the winners in the winner-take-all economy.
Is economic inequality a bad thing?
Well, I don't think economic inequality in itself is a bad thing. A society needs to have a certain level of inequality to encourage people to invest and encourage them to work hard. But there seems to be a very bad effect of rising inequality on our political system and on opportunities for those who aren't at the top. Because as a society grows more unequal, the ability of those at the top to translate their economic gains into political gains increases. And so you see the distortion of political systems by rising inequality. At the same time, as the gap grows, there's lots of ways in which that can really hurt the opportunity of those at the bottom. The other thing to say is that it's one thing to have the rich get much richer when the middle class is doing well and the poor are moving out of poverty. But what we've seen over the last generation is essentially stagnation in the middle, and no real progress in addressing poverty for many Americans. And so I think that there's a good argument that unless we are able to figure out how to increase opportunity and decrease the influence of the wealthy on our politics, we're not going to be able to have the kind of shared prosperity that most Americans want.
So how do we do it?
Well, there are a lot of policies that would help move us in that direction. Increased opportunity could come through increased education, especially for the youngest, pre-K education, improving the ability of less advantaged people to get through college. It could also come through some regulatory changes, increasing the minimum wage, allowing shareholders to have greater control over executive pay, regulating finance so it's not as risky and probably also not as lucrative. And it could finally come through better tax policies that both encourage higher levels of growth and ensure that those who are wealthiest pay in some proportion to their wealth back into the system. But the second answer to this question of what we do is really, how do we get the political momentum to actually do any of these things? Because ultimately, the problem isn't that there aren't ideas out there, it's that it's so hard politically for our country to act. To my mind, we'd want to reduce the sway of money in politics. We'd want to make it easier for Congress to act. So I would cut back on the filibuster in the Senate that makes it so hard for Congress to act. And finally, I think we'd want to try to encourage more grassroots organizations that represent middle class and working class Americans.